victory beneath the cleansing blood. Well, I've heard about that mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal.
Good morning. I thank you for joining us this morning. It's Tuesday, September 14, 2021, and this is GospelBellsRadio.com. Yes, let's sing together that song of victory. Victory in Jesus. It is the Lord. It is the Lord who gives us the victory. Every day, every new day, every day, every new day. The one who sought us, who bought us with his redeeming blood, who loved you before you knew him. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you. And his spirit has roused you again this morning to come into his presence, to learn at his feet, to draw closer to him. Oh, victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. My Savior forever. Yes. Sought me, he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me before I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory, indeed, beneath the cleansing flood. Hallelujah. He plunged me to victory. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And thank you so very much for joining us today. God bless you. We begin in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is Reflections Tuesday on GospelBellsRadio.com. You know, every morning there is a devotional going on GospelBellsRadio.com at 7 a.m. Mondays are for faith, motivated by faith Monday. Tuesday, Reflections Tuesday with Pastor Ayo Agunloye. Wednesdays are waiting on God. Wednesdays, Thursdays, Thankful Thursdays, and Friday, never forget Friday. Pastor Ayagunle has been a blessing for us on GospelBellsRadio.com since for about 2.5 months now. It has been a blessing. Pastor Ayagunle is the publisher of Your Potter's House Devotional, and for a while now, we have been reflecting on the truth, the invaluable truth contained in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, where the apostle wrote to the Corinthians describing his ministry, the nature of his ministry among them. And for a while we have been reflecting on the need for every Christian, for each Christian, all of us, the Church of Christ, to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, the hidden things of craftiness. But today we are moving to another subset in that most invaluable verse of the scripture. And shortly I'm going to bring on our pastor, our friend, Pastor Ayo Agunloye, who is going to lead our reflections today. Please bear in mind that you can contribute to this reflection. You can contribute by tapping the WhatsApp icon on the bottom part of your screen. Just tap that WhatsApp icon and then our number will come up on your screen, and you can send us your message, your contributions, your questions, or more than that, you can just call. Just use the phone icon on the bottom part of your screen and call into the studio. And once you come into the studio, we're going to put you live on here. We're going to listen to you, hear your contribution, hear your question, and attend to them. So please open your mind, open your heart. God has something to say. I always like to play that song anytime we are beginning this program. God has something to say, because indeed he does. He does have something to say. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Glory to God. Glory to God. It's a pleasure to hear your voice one more time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you for having me. Very good, very good. You are live on air, dear listeners. That's the voice of our friend, our senior, our mentor, Pastor Ayo Agunloye. Again, joining us today, Tuesday, September 14, 2021, for Reflections Tuesday. For Reflections Tuesday. This has been a program that many people look forward to. Thank you for allowing yourself to be used by God on this platform, sir. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank God for helping us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we had a preview of what the Lord is leading Pastor Yagunle to discuss with us today. And we have tagged the title of this reflection, Show Us the Proof. Show Us the Proof, with a writer saying, well, what proof? And who is asking? What proof? And who is asking? And now I will call on Pastor Yagunle to lead the reflection. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I greet all our listeners this morning. Happy morning. Happy day. Good morning. The Lord bless you. And the Lord bless you for listening to, in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that your time that you spent using listening this morning will not be a waste.
Amen.
But the Lord will encounter you through his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So this morning we are looking at manifesting the truth. Actually, we have been dealing with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This year, in your Potter's house, we are focusing on shining the light. And we have touched on so many issues that has now brought us to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. From verse 1 down, we discover that it's talking about the ministry of shining. No matter what kind of ministry you have, I mean, what kind of work platform you have to work, the Lord is expecting you as his child to use it as a platform for ministry. And you have received that platform by mercy. No matter whether you are a lawyer, you are a banker, you are a doctor, whatever you are, even if you are a shoemaker or a bricklayer, whatever you are, that platform is given to you by mercy to do ministry. And he's now explaining the kind of ministry. What is the ministry that he has put into our hands? And it's true. Reading it through, you discover that it's a ministry of shining the light of God. Mm-hmm. The light of God that he has put into your life, in your heart. So, in order to shine it out, he has put you on a candlestick, which is your platform. So, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, neither can a man light his candle and put it under a bushel. Luke said a man cannot put on his candle and put it under his bed. So it is not hidden. It has to be put on a candle so that it can give light to those who come in. So I see that as two different shining. Shining outside as a city that is set on a hill for everyone to see. And then when people have been attracted to you and now come to look on to you, they come close to you with their own candle, especially probably the candle that is not lit yet in that area of illumination. And then coming near to you to look upon you to see whether what you are living is actually what they are seeing from outside. It's not the more you look, the less you see. Mm-hmm. It's actually the reality, the truth, and they look upon it to study how are you able to achieve it. That is how you are able to, with the light on your own candle, give light to the candle of those who come near you, who mm-hmm. come to the house, mm-hmm. according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Mm-hmm. So that is what the Bible says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So what your own spirit is the candle, but your candle does not have all the light that it needs now. You also need to light it through other people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not just through their preaching. You have to come near them to learn personally. So now, that is the ministry that every one of us has. And he has put us on a candlestick, on a platform. Mm-hmm. That platform is your work. Now, some people he has put on the platform in the church, yes, as a pulpit minister, either as an evangelist, as a pastor, as an apostle, as teacher, as a prophet. Pulpit ministry, that is their own platform. Everybody, that's not the platform for everybody. Some people's platform is their workshop. Mm-hmm. Some people's platform is their office. Some people's platform is the market where they trade, mm-hmm, they buy and sell. All the platforms that you have, what this passage is saying is that you have a ministry, and that ministry is not just about shouting, but actually primarily shining the light. And as you shine the light, people are attracted to the light, mm-hmm, and they may ask questions, then you will shout the truth. Now, after reading verse 1, verse 3 says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He's dealing with some things that obscure, that covers, that prevents our lives from being seen outwardly by people. No, so it is possible to be preaching the gospel and the gospel seems powerless. We have preached to some people and we seem to be making brick wall, really. And when you investigate, they tell you, forget it. Forget it. We have seen a lot of preachers, even pastors, even prophets, that have done this to us, that have done that to us, that have cheated us with our money, that have cheated us with our bodies, you know, committed fornication with us and all that. See, nobody can be trusted. We trust no man, no matter how you are preaching or something. So their hearts are now hardened, that they suspect everybody that is even carrying the Bible. It is because of what they have seen in another person. Can you imagine that you are interceding and you are laboring to win a soul? And the reason why that soul is not being won is because of what he has seen in another person. There are things that is obscuring, that obscures the light of God that you carry. Number one, Paul says that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, shameful things, we have renounced that. Because those things will hide the light that we carry. If we do not renounce them, the light that we carry, even though we carry the light, we are the light of Christ, people will not be able to see it. And when people are not able to see the light, they will not be able to hear our shouting. No matter how we shout, we'll just be like tinkling cymbal. We'll just be making noise like an empty barrel. And so he's now saying, the first thing we did is we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, things that people may not even see. We have to deal with things that are out of the public layer first, so that by the time that we are coming out, we are not pretenders, we are not hypocrites, we have actually first of all dealt with the hidden things of dishonesty, shameful things that if we are caught, we won't be proud of them. So things that are hidden from people, that people are not seeing, the first thing is we have to renounce them, that those shameful things that are hidden from public glare, our secret life, the way that we live our secret life, which of them is shameful, which of them is sinful. Yes, people are not seeing us, but they are still shameful. The Bible says the first thing is renounce those ones. Stop them. Remove. Stop doing all those things. Even though they are not seeing you, the anointing flows from the head. When you preach, it is what you do that you impart to people, whether they see you or they don't see you. So that is the first thing that Paul said they did. The second thing is not walking in craftiness. Now that We have stopped even the hidden things. Now, even in the open, we are not working in craftiness. We are not doing boju-boju. We are not doing the more you see, the more you look, the less you see. We are not using craft. We are not using witchcraft. We are not using any other craft. We are not using craftiness. We are not trying to manipulate. We are not trying to make people think what is not real, what we are not. Think of us of what we are not. So we are not walking in craftiness in any way openly. First, we have dealt with sinful, shameful, hidden things, even the ones that people do not see. Second, now even in the open, we are not using craftiness. We are not trying to manipulate people. We are not using witchcraft. We are not using any other craft to make people believe what is not real. Then the third thing is by not handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, even after we have dealt with the first two, the third is the handling of the word of God. And we said, we spent a lot of time looking at how to handle the word of God. We used 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 that says that which has been from the beginning, which our eyes, which our ears have heard, which our eyes have seen, which our hands have handled, even the word of life. And I mean, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, even the word of life. Talking of the word of life, which became flesh, which means that the word of life, before you can handle the word of God faithfully, you must have personally heard it to yourself. You must have personally seen the word of God, this word of life lived out. You must have personally looked upon it to learn it. Then you must now have made it your own lifestyle, a normal lifestyle, just like a driver by reflex. We slam his leg upon the clutch and upon the brake and, you know, the steering and all that. Using it has become a reflex to the driver. He knows in what to do at different times, depending on what he sees. So that is the kind of way that when you see where the word of life becomes a normal lifestyle for somebody, then you can say that I have handled it. So before Paul was talking of handing over the word of God by shouting or by preaching, he has first of all handled it. Of course, you can't give what you have not handled. You can't give what you don't have. And so he says, handling the word of God deceitfully, not peddling the word of God, not trying to play upon the word of God, make the word of God to deceive people, mm-hmm. not playing upon it. You know, sometimes you see people when they are preaching, they just play upon people's intelligence, or they use grammar to preach. Sometimes they want to use rhymes, like anything that is ending with zim, zim, zim. And they will be talking of zim, 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 zim. And by the time they finish the zim, 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 people are clapping and say, oh, this person. Exactly. And they say, this person is great, is good. Exactly. But the problem is, no, we are not dealing with grammar. We are dealing with the life of Christ here now. It's not rhymes. It's not all those things. Even if you use all those rhymes or something, the important thing is, are you using it to deceive people, or you are using it to pass across a message so that they can remember, or what? So he is saying that we are not using the word of God deceitfully. We are not using it to deceive people so that people will come to see or come to think that of the word of God, what the word of God is not saying. We are not squeezing the word of God to say what it is not saying. Exactly. That is what Paul said. Yeah. Then he says, it now comes to what we want to discuss this morning, that by manifestation of the truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Now, I want to now say, in order for Paul to shine the light of the gospel, he renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He did not walk in craftiness, nor did he handle the word of God faithfully. However, by manifestation, by manifesting the truth, he and his companions commended themselves to the people's conscience in the sight of God. That was how they shined the gospel light to the people and handed over the word of life to the people. Now, Paul went beyond speaking the truth to manifesting the truth. When you are talking of the truth, the first thing that comes to your mind is what is spoken. Oh, that person, what he's saying is a lie. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is the truth. But Paul went beyond saying it. He went beyond speaking the truth. He said, by manifesting the truth, by manifestation of the truth. That caught my attention. Why would Paul be talking of manifestation of the truth when the truth is to be spoken? When the truth is something that is said? So why would Paul be talking of manifestation of the truth? It shows to me that manifestation, it seems to me, I went to the dictionary, my World Web Dictionary, and it says to manifest is to provide evidence for something, to stand as proof of something, to show by one's behavior, attitude, or external attributes. So, when we are talking of manifestation of the truth, we are talking of showing the truth by your own behavior, attitude, or external attributes. Showing the truth, showing the proof of a truth, showing the evidence for a truth. So if I am coming here now on this radio to be teaching you that God provides, then it is important for me to be able to show you with my lifestyle that if you can even see me, you yourself will know that it is true that God provides. I don't do fundraising, or maybe in our church or anything, in order to be begging people for money. You know, churches have become all these beggars now, begging people for money, telling people that our God has sent us cannot afford to provide for us. Mm. So please come and help our God to do the work of our God. And we use the fight money, blood money, to do God's work. Mm. No wonder that the work is not done. We are just going around a circle. May God have mercy on his church. So if I stand to decide, to preach, to say that God provides, then if I to manifest the truth, if the onus lies on me to now prove as an evidence in my own life that see what God has provided for me, see how God is providing for me, see how I am standing in the center of God's will, God's purpose, to wait and to ensure that whatever the Lord does not provide for me, I don't take and I don't accept. Even if somebody is coming to give me a gift, I'm trying to ask the Lord in my heart and ask him, Lord, are you the one sending this person to me? Are you the one providing? The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs. Not my friend, not my man, not any other person. He can use anybody, but if it is not him, then I am not taking it because he will not accept it. So now, if I am preaching that to you, it's important for me to live that life so that you will see it in me, that is an evidence of what he's saying. That is why the word of God, the words of Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was teaching with authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. You hear people that is preaching, say, well, the Lord help us. Actually, all of us, we are just trying. It's only God that is perfect. And so, but this is what the word, this is what they said, and look at it now. Let God just have mercy on us and help all of us. You know, it is because they themselves have not first of all handled the word of God, and they are now coming out to preach it. So they cannot preach it with authority because they don't have evidence for it. Their lives are not evidence of what they are preaching. That is what the Bible is saying here. We, by manifesting the truth, we are showing the evidence of the truth in our lives. So if we say that God heals, the first thing that we want to show you is the healing of God in our own lives.
Oh, yes.
So that we say, look at what God has done in us. Like they talk about Hausa people. When you want to sell a drug to an Hausa person, you say, have you used it before? How did it, how, what was wrong with you when you used it? And how did, what was the effect when you used it? So that is exactly what is expected of every child of God. We should not jump out to just be preaching any revelation that comes to us. That's what we see all around. To the extent that people now, when they have come close to people and they have seen a lot of people, they have seen this, they have seen that, this one beat his wife, this one does this one, despite what he preaches, and when they get close, they see all those things, they see that everybody is just patching it, everybody is just managing it. Nobody really can be like Jesus. And so, forget it, they are just preaching, that's their business. You know, they now make the word of God of non-effect in the hearts of people. It now looks as if everybody that is preaching is like all the people that they have seen. They have not seen those who are really children of God, who are like Paul, who are saying that we are manifesting the truth. They have not seen those who are really manifesting the truth. And that is why I want to bring the word of God. I'm setting the word of God to you today as my listeners. Are you also, have you seen yourself as a minister of God? Are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, this same stroke that makes you a child of God is also the same stroke that makes you a minister of God. He says he has given us, having reconciled us to God, he also gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
And he gave us also the instrument of reconciliation, or what did he call it? That is according to chapter 5, verse 18. He said, and all things are of God. That is 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and at the same time had given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. And he has also given us the word of reconciliation according to verse 19. So in the same stroke, that the same thing that makes you a child of God is also what commissions you and makes you a minister of God. It's not until you become a pastor or an evangelist, but where you are, what you are doing is expecting you to use it, because as you manifest the truth, it will now give you the opportunity to say the truth, to speak the truth. So it says, by manifestation of the truth. And that is what we are dealing with today. I want to give a short break
Great. Thank you very much. And one more time, you say, we are blessed. And we see the Lord, you know, shining light on his word. Thank you very much, sir. God bless you. If you're just joining us, you've been listening to the voice of Pastor Ayo Agunloye, the publisher of Your Potter's House Devotional. Your Potter's House Devotional is a daily devotional inspired by the word of God. If you'd like to receive copies of the devotional on your WhatsApp or in your email, please get in touch with us. And before the end of this program, we are going to read out Pastor Yagunloye's number and email. He's also the convener of the Christian Bankers Fellowship, because he himself is a former banker. So if you are a banker, please reach out to him and join that fellowship. It is a place for Christians to come together and to manifest the light, you know, in that profession. And for a long time, as he mentioned, we've been studying 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. And this is the summary that he has given us today. First, every one of us, you as a child of God, you are a minister. You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. In Matthew 5, the Lord has given you the ministry of shining your light and not putting it under a bushel. So first, deal with the hidden things in your life. Things that if people should know about them, you would be ashamed. Things that if God should see you and God sees you, he would not be pleased with you. Deal with those hidden things. Don't walk in craftiness. When you handle the word of God, don't handle it deceitfully, and then manifest the light of God. And on that point of not handling the word of God deceitfully, Pastor Agunle has given a number of examples that deserve our reflection about our churches, you know, about preachers, and about individuals as well. So if you have contributions to make or questions to ask, please use the phone icon on the bottom part of your screen. Call into the studio. We'll be glad to take your call. If you have questions to ask, if you don't want to call, you can just use the WhatsApp function. Use the WhatsApp function. Send your comments or your questions or additional Bible verses that come to your mind, and then we'll read them out and we all benefit from it. Tomorrow is Waiting on God Wednesday. If the Lord is placing any burden on your heart, whether for yourself or for others, please use the button on your screen that says Send Anonymous Prayer Request. Please let us bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. So please use that button, Send Anonymous Prayer Request, and we'll all come together to pray tomorrow. So I invite Pastor Ayagunle again, but just hold on, there is a comment here on WhatsApp. It says, good morning. It says, please kindly remember to balance the preaching. 1 minute, okay, let me read it again.
Come again.
Okay, let me read. I'm reading this message that we are receiving on WhatsApp. It says, good morning. Okay. Please kindly remember to balance the preaching so that people don't feel a Christian has no challenges, and that is why people pretend and join the occult for quick answers, so that people will not say God is not answering their prayers because they are sinful. Okay, so my suspicion that this is from somebody who is that part where we talk about people becoming beggars and not believing that God can provide for them. But hold on, we have a caller as well. 1 minute.
Okay.
Good morning.
Actually.
Hold on, sir.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning. You're on Gospel Best Radio. Okay, we lost that call. We lost that call.
No.
Okay. Do you want to respond to that briefly and then move on?
All right. He's saying that I should balance the comment, especially on where I mentioned the issue of fundraising.
Yes, and Christians becoming beggars, not manifesting that God can provide for them in their own lives.
That God has provided for them.
No, that you know that when we become beggars, when we keep on begging people for things, some you mentioned that may be indication that we are not manifesting that God is a provider.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. What I am saying from there is that fundraising that you are doing in the church, is it the Lord that is asking you to go around with it? When you print the ticket and give all the members in the church to go around in their offices and in their markets and all that, they're begging people to give money so that you want to buy instruments or you want to build your church or you want to do something. Is it the Lord that is asking you to go around begging? Is it the Lord that is asking you to do all those things? Have you taken it to the Lord? Has the Lord told you that he's not going to provide, or has the Lord said that that is the way he wants to go about it? We are thinking we are using human methods to do God's work. When God's work is a sacred work, God will not accept what he has not provided for, what does not come from him. Even when he told Elijah to go to that woman, it was him that told Elijah to go to that woman. Elijah did not stand up. When there was famine, he told Elijah to go to the brook where he has commanded a raven bird to be bringing food for him. A bird, that raven's bird is a bird that when they say something is ravenous, that if it eats anything, it eats the flesh and bone and everything. It's not a kind of bed that you can send with food, that will deliver the food. So even if it is God that is commanding an akagom to give you, somebody who is a stingy person,
yes,
he will bring it, he will be begging you with it. Why not allow God to be the one stirring the hearts of people? Go through the whole scriptures. It is not the person, it is not the individual that is going to be begging for something to do the work of God. It's if God that steers the heart of people, you can make it known to people that, well, this is what the Lord wants to do or something, and then leave it for God to steer the hearts of people. So if God told Elijah, he said, I have commanded her to give you this thing. So if the Lord is telling you, leave it and let the Lord tell all those people to do it. So it is not to be making God look like somebody who cannot provide for his home. It's just like your child now going around begging, and you are there working in the bank or working as a lawyer or working as a doctor. How will you feel when your child is carrying a plate to his neighbor to beg for food?
Especially when that child is going to people that he has not been sent to, you know. You know, disgracing the Lord, you know, going to maybe unbelievers, people has not been sent to, and the person is wondering, okay, you guys say we are the sinners, you are inviting us to the church, and then you are still coming to us for blessings to give us the proceeds of our sinfulness. So I can fully understand that. But are there cases where, we are not going to presume on how God will work, but are there instances where maybe God will tell me and say, look, Femi, there is this need. But talk to Sister Shade, for example. I'm just saying, maybe, you know, the same way that the Holy Spirit could say to Sister Shade, look, go to Brother Femi, I've commanded him to give you this. I'm just saying, last week, God could say to Brother Femi, okay, this is what you've been praying for. Go to Sister Shade and ask her.
Yes. If the Lord is the one asking you to do that, then go ahead. Not going is also disobedience, it's pride.
Exactly.
But the matter is this God that is telling every one of us to be doing all these things? It seems to me as if it is just what we have copied from the world. Mm. It is not the Lord that is asking us to do most of those things that we do, going around begging. Exactly. And the way we go about it shows that actually it is not the Lord. Mm. It is actually our calculations and we sit down to make calculations. Why is it that it's the big, big, rich, rich people that we are sending, we are inviting for our luncheons and all that? Anyway, but that is not even the focus of the matter today. Mm. The focus actually is manifesting the truth. If I am teaching you that God provides, then it is important for you to see it in my life that God provides. Mm. And look at it, how God has provided. And I'm showing you evidence of how God provided shoes for me. Mm-hmm. When I said that, I need shoes. Oh Lord, please, I need shoes. Is it that you want me, you provide the money for me to buy it, or you provide the shoes for me? Anyhow, Lord, I won't look at it unless you are glorified with the shoes that I'm using presently, because it's worn out in this and in that. So, and I'm going around expecting him. And then all of a sudden, somebody sends my wife and he says, please, I've been looking for your husband for some time. And I want to send this thing to him. But it seems as if I don't know how I've not been able to see him for up to about 2 months now. But this thing, I've been carrying it around. Please, could you help me give it to him? And then my wife brought it, and eventually it came to be my size. And I'm wondering, how did the person know my size if the Lord have not sent him to me? And even before I accept it and call the person to acknowledge it, I'm begging God and say, God, is this the one you are sending to me, or I should expect another one, or I should return it? Before I will call the person to thank the person, I want to be sure of that you are the one that is sending it to me. And then I will know whether to return it or to accept it and thank the person. Now, that is how God expects us to live our lives. That is how he expects us. So that when people are now seeing, they are learning how to live by faith. Like they are learning, like we learned last week, that Paul was saying, I have learned to live, whether to abase or to abound, to be in lack or to be in plenty. Any time the Lord provides for me, I am okay. if the Lord has not provided for me, I am okay. I will not go around begging for something. I will not go around showing people or presenting my God to people as a wicked God that is not taking care of me. And so I need to be wiping up their emotions to take care of me. Mm. So that is what I'm trying to say, that your life, people are looking at you, they are watching you, and they want to see the truth that you are preaching in you. If you are preaching about the power of God, they want to see the power of God in you. Why will you be preaching that God has power and then you are afraid of witches, you are afraid of demons, and you are afraid of this and that? You know, in the church where I was, and I was talking, and somebody came to me and said, be careful, you know, the world is terrible, and the witches and wizards are everywhere, they are even in the church, and then this and that and that and that. I said, excuse me, ma'am. The way you are talking is as if you are afraid of them. If we are talking of the power of God, why would you be afraid of witches and be afraid of demons and all those things? If God does not have power, let us know that he doesn't have power, and let us leave him and kukuma go and take the demons and be begging them. But if we are saying that God has power, then let the evidence be in you. You by your own lifestyle, by the way you live, people are supposed to see that you are living what you preach. If I'm preaching against anger, why would people now still see me getting angry? Mm-hmm. Maybe because the conductor refused to give me my correct change. And then I'm fighting, and I'm cursing, and I'm doing this. And probably because I don't know the people in the bus with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that nobody knows me in that place. Mm-hmm. But you won't know that somebody in that bus was there when you were preaching the last time. That anger, whether as is wrong, whether as a Sunday school teacher or as whatever you are, or as a pastor. Now, the Bible is saying that by manifestation of the truth, we are preaching. You may be preaching the truth. This time, you are not handling the word of God faithfully. You are not doing mago-mago with the word of God. Mm-hmm. You are actually preaching the truth, but you are not manifesting the truth. You are not showing forth the truth. Mm-hmm. You are not letting the truth show in giving the evidence of that truth in your life. That is what we are talking about. Mm. The Bible says by manifestation of the truth, by showing forth, not just by telling the truth. Paul has gone beyond telling the truth. He's not handling the word of God faithfully. He's not speaking the word of God erroneously. He's not preaching errors. He's not preaching heresy. But he has gone beyond that. No, he has gone beyond just preaching the truth. He's also living the truth. He's living a life of the truth. That is all. And that is what all effective teachers and preachers did. That's what Ezra did in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible says he has committed himself to seek the law of the Lord, mm-hmm. to do the law of the Lord, that is to obey it personally, and then to teach it in Israel. That's the same thing that Jesus did in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. According to Luke's writings to Theophilus, he said, "Oh, most excellent Theophilus, the former teachers have written unto you of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach." He first of all began to do them, mm-hmm. before he taught them. That is why he was able to teach with authority. Now, if you don't have that evidence in you, you don't have that qualification, you don't have that certificate to speak the truth with authority, to be able to pass across the message with authority. When you are preaching so loud and eloquently, and your life is speaking against what you are preaching, then you make a mockery of yourself, you make a mockery of the word of God. You need to fear the Lord. You need to fear him, because you are even imparting death to people. When you are not living a life of what you are preaching, you are imparting death to people. So it is first of all, the Bible says, How will you be able to remove the speck in another person's eyes when a beam is in your own eyes? You yourself, you are the one that first of all need the doctor's emergency work. That that you are now trying to help, you will even scatter the person's eyes. You say you want to, you beam is in your eyes, you are not able to see clearly, and you say you want to remove what is in another person's eye, you will destroy the eyes of that person.
Exactly.
You will not be able to help that person.
Exactly.
So that is why you don't jump to become a teacher. The Bible even says, be not many teachers, for they shall receive greater condemnation.
Yeah,
so our work today, by manifestation of the truth, we need to manifest the truth. Whatever, before you come out to say or to preach something, it is important for you to live the life, to wait and let that thing become your life. And if you have to preach it among people and they, you think that you have discovered the truth, even though you have not, you are not living it yet, and you also want others also to share in your truth, maybe among your brethren or something, your family, and you have, you want to pass across the truth, you need to let them also know that, see what I just discovered, and I'm praying that God will help me in this matter.
Yes.
And I want you to also, let's work together on this matter to seek God's help. You are not coming to say that, you are not coming from an angle that as if you are, you are coming from an angle to show, to beg the people that let us pray together so that God can help us in this matter together. Me, I just discovered this and I want to pursue this. I don't know if you will join me in pursuing this. I know I'm not dealing with this. This thing is not reflecting in my life yet, and it's supposed to be reflecting in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I need God to help me. So if you want to join me, you can join me. That's different. But
exactly,
even that is not going to be powerful.
Exactly.
Say they are inviting you now to come and preach on something, and you know that you still need help in that matter, you will tell them to seek somebody who,
exactly,
who God has helped in that matter, and you will also try to attend that program so that you can receive,
exactly,
help from that person.
Exactly.
That is. So you can also ask questions and say, excuse me, I've tried my best on this matter. In fact, I'm the one that they first invited on this matter, but I've tried my best and I see that it's not working for me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. What am I not getting right? And then you'll be able to learn,
mm-hmm,
from the life of that person, and your life will be helped. And then you outgrow that. You would have grown. By the time that episode will end, you would have put that behind you and looking at greater challenges. So that is what the Bible is saying, by manifestation of the truth. So in order to round off now, you as a minister, or you as a market person, or you in the marketplace, in your neighborhood, anywhere, this is the word of God for you today. You need to pass across the gospel to people, not only by shouting,
but
actually by shining. That is by manifestation of the truth. The truth that you want to preach, manifest it.
Right.
Make it an evidence in your life. Make your life an evidence of that truth. That everybody look at me. You know me before. You know that this is what my life used to be. You know that I'm a chronic liar before. But now, you know that it is difficult for me to lie now.
Okay.
It is because Jesus has come over me,
yes,
and this is what has happened to me. You know me to be like this before. You know I always come to beg you for something before.
Yes.
But now, if God does not provide this for me, I don't accept it.
Hallelujah.
Even if you are bringing it. And you know that I'm like this before. You know that I'm like this before. I am not contented with what I have before. I always want to beg. I always want to do this. I always want to do that. But now, look at what
I'm
the Lord has done in my life. This is the evidence,
okay,
that I am showing you the evidence. You can see it in me. That's what Jesus called us. He said, you are witnesses. You
exactly.
witnesses
exactly.
for me. So your life will, if you have not first of all experienced it, you can't witness it. It's
exactly.
not about eyewitness. It's
exactly.
about life experience witness.
Thank
that
you,
you have
much,
experienced it. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, and glory to God for that illumination of His word. I want to read the messages we have received. There is a brother here, brother. Okay, this brother sent this message and saying, what I understand from our brother is not about us as believers not having a need or so that we are trusting God for, but that we must learn to wait on God and for God to come for us rather than using our human wisdom to meet our needs. So
yes,
yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So that's what this brother has said, that what I understand is that it's not that we are not going to have need or we are not going to have something we are trusting God for, but that we must learn to wait on God and for God to come for us rather than using our human wisdom to meet our needs. And I think that clearly expresses the point that you have been making.
Yes, yes. I didn't get that question like that before. That's exactly the point.
Exactly.
We will be contented with waiting for God.
Absolutely.
Only what God provides.
Absolutely.
That's what we need.
Okay, we have another one. This says, this teaching is actually telling us to know that we must know the mind of God for going forward for every of our steps. No assumption. We need to hear Him clearly. May the Lord help us to live hearing in Him daily in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's a good one. Then another one. It says, may God be praised for the illumination of His word this morning through His servant. May God give us grace to open our hearts to receive His truth with gladness. That's another prayer.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, dear listeners. Thank you for sending in those messages and for following us today. You know, the person who sent that message the first time also sent this one, saying that, yes, you must acknowledge that people have challenges and that in Christ they will be provided for. And I think that is summation of it, that yes, there will be challenges, there will be need. Of course, the Lord has not promised us a smooth sailing ride. In fact, the fact that we are in Christ is a gateway to have challenges in this world. Because, you know, the Lord Himself said, the ruler of the darkness of this world. I mean, our Lord Himself was traduced, He was embarrassed, He was mugged, He had needs Himself. So we're not going to be different. But this person is saying, the person who sent the first comment, saying again that, we must know that in Christ we'll be provided for. And the key word is in Christ, I believe.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. In Christ we'll be provided for. So, dear listeners, this has been a beautiful session. And God again has shown light on His word using our brother, Pastor Ayoa Gunloye, who is the publisher of your Potter's House devotional. If you'd like to get in touch with him, please reach out to us. Some people have reached out to us and we have forwarded the contact of Pastor Yegunle to them. But can I also call him directly on 0808-718-0680. 0808-718-0680. 0808-718-0680. If you're a banker, you also benefit by joining the Christian Bankers Fellowship of Nigeria, convened by our brother Pastor Ayoa Gunloye. Tomorrow is Waiting on God Wednesday. Please use that button on your screen. Think of people around you, bear one another's burden, and send us anonymous prayer requests. We'll come together and pray. We thank God that He answers our prayers, as He does answers the prayer of all who call upon Him in truth. In truth. So please, the takeaway from this is this. Let us manifest the light of God, the things we preach, the things we believe. You know, in James wrote saying that, look, you say you believe in God. Yes, you have done well, but we've not done anything really, because even the devils, they believe and they tremble. They tremble.
Yes.
But beyond that, beyond believing, beyond confessing Him, we must shine the light. Like the world must see that indeed we believe. Indeed we believe. And I know that the Lord will not put us to shame. The Lord will not put us to shame.
Yes.
You know, the psalmist said, I've been young. Now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen His children beg for bread.
Yes.
That is something we are not going to have needs. We are going to have needs. Of course, we are going to be dependent on God from time to time. But if we wait on Him, He Himself will show us the way. The strong point here is, do not go outside the will of God to meet your needs. Do not go outside the will of God. And I pray the Lord will continue to use you, sir, for His glory.
Amen.
In your ministry. And even among us here, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we have a message saying, what time is the prayer tomorrow? The time is 7 a.m. And we look forward to you joining us. Thank you very much, sir. So please say a word of prayer. And of course, we look forward to seeing you next week by the grace of God. But please say a word of prayer now. Thank you.
Our Father, we thank you for how you have helped us this morning. Thank you for your word that has come forth, showing us that in order to be effective in our ministry, we need to manifest the truth, not just to speak the truth. Lord, we ask for grace to speak and to manifest the truth in our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let our lives be real evidence of the truth that we preach in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May people that listen to us or come to worship with us not be unfortunate because of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Even at our own different businesses and trade workshops and all that, Lord, may people that come to us, that you have brought to us, not be unfortunate to have come to us either as suppliers, as customers, as neighbors, as colleagues, as whatever they may be around us. May they not be unfortunate because of how, because you have aligned them to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that our lives will shine forth your light indeed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we will not disappoint you too.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We pray that you see us through this week.
Amen.
Victoriously.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Meet all our needs according to your riches.
Amen.
In glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank
blessed
Lord.
Be your holy name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' precious name we have prayed.
Amen. 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 God bless you, Pastor. God bless you.
Amen.
And we look forward
thank
to having
you
again by the grace of God. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Okay, dear listeners, thank you for staying with us today. Thank you for staying with us today at 8:30, we are going to listen to a sermon preached in 2003. If you can put on your radio wherever you are, it will be a blessing. It will be a blessing to tune in. I always like to end every program on Gospel Best Radio with this wonderful song, which is our theme song for Gospel Bells Radio morning programs. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. You see, over sin, over everything that traduces us, over all challenges of life, the Christian knows that victory is to be found in Christ. In Christ and in Christ alone. I would like you all to know this song. If you want to have the lyrics, I'll gladly send it to you. He gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Yes, oh, victory in Jesus. Amen. My Savior forever. He sought me. Bought me
with his redeeming blood.
His redeeming blood.
He
loved me before I knew him, and all my love is through him. Hallelujah. Oh yes. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Me to victory in me.
into victory beneath the cleansing flood.